Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Eddie Trunk here with you, and it's time for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, which is new every Thursday via PodcastOne.com and iTunes. Thank you for downloading and streaming and listening and spreading the word, and we are ready to go for another good one this week. Hope everybody had a great week. I made my way back from, I was in Tulsa last weekend once again, Bisto Blanco, free show at the IDL Ballroom, a lot of fun. And before that, I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming, shot the eighth and final episode of season one of Trunk Fest, spent some time in Denver, saw Whitesnake and Foreigner and Jason Bonham, saw the Def Leppard Journey show at the stadium in Denver. So it's been a busy week of travel, bunch of different cities. I was in Atlanta for a day. So much going on. Hope you guys follow on social media. Twitter at Eddie Trunk, where I'm up to the second with all the stuff going on, and try to do my best to keep you updated on my travels. And all my appearances, at least the stuff that's public, is on the homepage of EddieTrunk.com. So please check that out. Look at it often. There is a lot going on and a lot of things to be announced very, very soon. Coming up next, this coming Friday, so tomorrow, if you're listening on post day, huge event if you're in Southern California, as I do my first ever Trunk Nation LA invasion. Of course, my daily Sirius XM show, which is heard on channel 106 volume, live from 2 to 4 Eastern, and it replays every night 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and the interviews you hear on this podcast originate there. Tomorrow, I'm going to be broadcasting live from the Rainbow Bar and Grill, the legendary rock and roll landmark bar and eatery on the Sunset Strip, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow, and a major surprise special guest dropping by. And the guest will not be announced in advance until the second he walks on the set and joins me for the interview. It is free and open to the public. If you would like to come down and you're in Southern California tomorrow, August 3rd at the Rainbow, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time, and you can listen anywhere that broadcasts Sirius XM on channel 106, be sure to tune in and listen to all the action. Now, what's going to happen on Friday is that normally, as I just mentioned, my show every day is live 2 to 4 Eastern. Replays 9 to 11 Eastern. The Friday show, I'm going to be on live in the 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, 6 to 8 Pacific window, with the best of show airing during the day, because obviously that better accommodates a live broadcast and Pacific time. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Listen to this big show. Hope you enjoy it. Again, tomorrow, if you're hearing this podcast on post day, and if you miss it for whatever reason, like everything, it'll be on demand on the Sirius XM app as well. Big special guest taking over the Rainbow, taking over the Sunset Strip from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time for a Trunk Nation LA invasion broadcast on channel 106 volume. So that's the next big thing going on tomorrow, August 3rd. Then I'm back in Tulsa, August 18th, hosting Faster Pussycat at the IDL Ballroom. Then I'm in Hollywood, Florida, September 12th, hosting Scorpions and Queensryche, Seminole Hard Rock. And then you've got the Sirius XM Hair Nation dates coming up. including the Will Turn in L.A. September 14th, the House of Blues Anaheim September 15th, Phoenix September 18th at Van Buren, September 20th in Vegas at the House of Blues. I'll be at Proof Rooftop Lounge in Houston September 21st for Vince Neil. And then it goes on and on from there. Again, keep an eye on eddietrunk.com. Everything you need to know is on the homepage. Ton more appearances, and they'll be added and slotted in as we go and as I can share them and as things are confirmed. But a lot of big stuff going on and more things to be announced. Also, huge thanks to everybody who watches Trunk Fest, my new TV show on Access TV, which new episodes premiere every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. Two more episodes to premiere coming up this Sunday, Jazz Fest in New Orleans. And don't let the name fool you, folks. Jazz Fest is all kinds of music. And we showcase that, and I have a lot of fun. My second trip to New Orleans in season one of Trunk Fest. And then one more episode to wrap up season one coming in a couple weeks. And that will be from where I just was, Cheyenne, Wyoming, and the Frontier Days event, which was an absolute blast. A rodeo. Yes, you will see me in my cowboy outfit. So it's been so much fun. Again, Trunk Fest is on every Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific on Access TV. Set those DVRs. If you should miss it, the replay is Thursdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific every week. And eventually there will be more repeat airings of the older shows as we go, I'm being told. Had a blast doing this. Still two more shows. Keep watching. And I want to say a huge thanks, because I can let you know that we will be doing a second season of Trunk Fest. So thanks to the great team at Access TV. Thank you for watching. And can't wait to continue this great adventure on the TV side. Hope you enjoy it. And again, if you need more information on Access TV, go to axs.tv. It is available on demand as well on DirecTV and DirecTV Now and various services like that. It is on Sling. I do realize, and I do hear from some of you folks, there are some carriers that do not carry it. Nothing I can do about that, but hope you can find a way to watch it. And I do appreciate the support. So, speaking of Tulsa, not too long ago, I was there. I go there constantly, host these great shows at the IDL Ballroom. And I was there a few weeks ago, staying at the always great Hard Rock in Tulsa. And I was brought to town to host a show with Dokken. And just prior to the band playing, Don Dokken and Mick Brown came by and did my radio show that afternoon. And man, did we have a blast. I mean, these guys are like a comedy duo. They are funny as hell. Two original members of Dokken, Mick especially, what a trip. And I was so glad they came by, and we had such a great time talking, and they have so many great stories, as you would imagine, over the years. So that's the interview I have for you on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. Mick Brown and Don Dokken sharing some stories about Dokken and having some fun with me from the Hard Rock in Tulsa in an interview that originally aired on my SiriusXM volume show. So be sure to listen to the show daily on 106, and be sure to catch the TV show, follow on social media, keep an eye on the website. Like I said, I got all your rock stuff covered, and we got a lot of rock stuff to get into. I am stacked through the end of the year, and now I'm going to be shooting more episodes eventually where I can slot them in of Trunk Fest for episode, or season two rather, for sometime next year. So things are happening. And I appreciate all the great support that I have out there. Remember, if you're shopping on Amazon, do it by starting at amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. And again, on eddietrunk.com, there is music news updated daily. Right on the homepage, you can see a big trailer, a teaser for each episode of Trunk Fest as we get ready for the new ones to air. And you can also see music news, as I said, the blog, the Trunk Report, become an all-access member, and hear some shows whenever you want on demand. Hear my radio show on demand, my FM show. There's merch there for you. Lots to do, all on my official online home. All right, we are going to get our first break in. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to take you to Tulsa, to the Hard Rock, with Mick Brown and Don Dokken on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast. Coming right up.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
MeUndies, my friend, MeUndies. Want to take a minute to talk to you about underwear. Yep, you heard me right, underwear. Everybody needs it. And new is better than old. And they got to be comfortable. So you should get yourself some MeUndies. I got some. I mean, again, I know you guys don't want to hear me talk to you about underwear, but these really are great. They stay put, no moving around. They are super comfortable. They really, truly are. And I got a no-risk offer for you. If you are not happy, they will refund the cost and you get to keep the underwear. And because you're listening to me, you'll get 15% off your first pair and free shipping. All you got to do is go to MeUndies.com/trunk. That's MeUndies.com/trunk. Here's an extra gift for you. If you order a pair and you take a screenshot of your transaction and you send it in, you will get another pair. So you get one pair for 15% off and another pair free. The first 25 people to send a proof of purchase, which is a screenshot of your purchase or the receipt, you'll get another pair of MeUndies for free. Just send your proof to gift@podcastone.com and put my name, Trunk, in the subject line, and you'll soon have another pair in your collection for free. So again, you buy a pair at the great deal, you take the receipt, you send it to gift@podcastone.com, you put Trunk in the subject. You're going to get another pair for free. The first 25 people that do this, you will not regret it. These are phenomenal underwear. MeUndies.com/trunk is how you get it all started. MeUndies.com/trunk.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, man?
Hi, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the team, Loveline, man. You guys remember us from back in the day? Well, we're doing a pod, and we're doing it every day.
And we've been doing it for a while, and if I hear one more time people say, God, I loved you and Adam together on Loveline, and I'm like, yeah, we're doing a podcast. Will you please just join us at the Adam and Dr. Drew Show, please?
Right.
AdamandDrewShow.com. It's a great show. Come on now. Only on Podcast One. That's us, Adam and Dr. Drew Show. Just like the old days.
Doctor's orders.
Oh, man, you're funny.
Yep. All right, let's go save some babies.
Let's do it.
Hey, if you like this show, check out the Steve Austin Show each Tuesday and Thursday. That's exclusively on Podcast One. Join the Pro Wrestling Hall of Famer and action movie star as he shares tales from his new life, unbelievable past adventures, and covers all the happenings in the pro wrestling world. So don't miss the Steve Austin Show each week on Podcast One. And remember to rate and review.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Okay, parachutes ready.
Boy, the things I go through to get auto loan rates as low as 1.04% APR for 36 months on new vehicles with PenFed.
You are aware that you don't have to be a military member to save hundreds on your auto loan, aren't you? Anyone can join PenFed.
As someone terrified of heights, I probably should have looked into that.
Probably.
Drop me off at the shore.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/autos or call 1-800-247-5626. Advertised rates available through the PenFed Car Buying Service. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
All right, let's do it. Mick Brown and Don Dokken from the radio studio at the Hard Rock in Tulsa on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast. Enjoy.
Just back from the plane, right?
Yeah, we were Dallas, Fort Worth last night, and now we're here today. So
we had a nice packed house.
And tomorrow in San Antonio, I think, right?
Yeah. Austin.
Oh, okay,
Big show tomorrow.
So a little Texas run here.
Yeah, why not?
Was Texas always a good spot for Doc? And I would imagine it would have been over the years.
It always was.
Oh, God, yeah. I tell you, you know, we had so much fun. We were talking about it. In the 80s, it seemed like every girl whose daddy owned a bunch of oil wells used to come down and see us, you know. And, it was just the biggest mess of parties.
Genetics, in the day.
They all look the same.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, kind of curvy.
It was a great time.
They'd be driving around their fancy cars. And
I have a soft spot in my heart for Texas and stuff. And Oklahoma, too, man. It's all good.
Yeah. Oklahoma had some great time. We played stadium here in Oklahoma, the Monsters Rock.
Oh, where was...
88. With the Scorpions.
Yeah, that was just the 30th anniversary of the whole Monsters of Rock tour.
Gosh, 30 years. Huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Forgot you guys were on that.
Yeah, man, we were right under Van Halen. Scorpions. It was Scorpions, Van Halen. Scorpions, Van Halen, Scorpions, Dawkins,
Metallica,
Kingdom Come. And I kept telling our manager who managed the Kingdom Come, I said, I know we're making a lot more money than Metallica, but can you put them on after us? Because I feel like David Cassidy after they go on. They were so heavy and intense.
Oh, that's right. You guys were managed by Q Prime at that time, too, right?
Cliff and Peter.
And you know, they were such a new and exciting band, and you know, they played pretty fairly early in the day, and the crowd had lots of energy. And then we'd come on at 4 o'clock, and it'd be, you know, 100 and I don't know what degrees, pick a number.
Yeah.
And it was pretty rough to walk onto that stage and at 4 o'clock at some of these places outdoors. It was pretty hot.
So, you know, wait, that 88, so you guys were on before Metallica or after?
No, I don't after. Remember.
You were on after Metallica.
That's what I'm saying. We wanted them to go on after us because they were killing us.
Oh, wow.
Kicking my butt.
So you guys were getting paid more, though?
Oh, way more.
So we were around. You know, they were kind of new at that time.
Well, they hadn't broke out yet. It was the Justice for All tour.
So one was just, they just made the first video and one started to happen?
They had that was Justice for All.
Yeah.
One.
I don't know if that, when the tour happened, they did it right after. That's what won the Grammy.
That was the first ever video.
That was the Grammy Award. And we were nominated for that.
We were nominated that year for Grammy.
Oh, the year they gave it to Tull?
Yeah, right,
no, the
correct.
Year that they gave it, we lost to Metallica
else.
When they gave it for one, the video.
Oh, when they finally made it right the following year.
We were nominated for a video that year, and the year before we were nominated.
Hey, you
Best
know
what
you get when you get second place at the Grammys? Nothing. Nothing. They move you from the seats on the floor up to the balcony. Sit up there and shut up.
Well, now they barely televise the category, Nick. So.
It's bullshit. Yeah, they had,
but
it was
we were not, luckily, we were really honored to be part of it. And it was fun, you know.
We had fun. Just at that time of day, in the mid, think about how hot it is today.
Yeah,
we're talking about August in Oklahoma and Texas.
Oh, man,
at 4 o'clock, and they have to make sure the fans don't get cooked. So the sun's pointing right at the stage. So I'm standing there literally just melting.
And they decided at 4 o'clock when we went on stage, that's when they turned the lights on as well, in case there's any shadows starting to happen, which never
hotter.
Really was. And they'd fire hose the audience down. We'd come out and just sweat through it, man. And the poor audience was just, they were having a hard time.
You know?
I saw that show in Miami. I was working with Anthrax at the time, and we were down in the studio, and that show was in, I think, or the Orange Bowl. That was the one I went to that.
I think that was the one that we hit the stage, and it rained constantly through our whole set. And the second we left the stage, it's sunshine again.
Yeah.
Was that thing?
We got crushed.
I may vaguely remember that, because I remember going under like the bleacher area because it started pouring rain.
Yeah.
I remember who said it.
And
was.
I remember it was,
it was ours.
It was a gorgeous day, and we literally walked up to the stage, and these clouds were, you know, thunder, torrential rain. The crowd just tried to disperse, but where can you go? You know,
what was that tour? I know we're talking about something 30 years ago, but it's interesting because it just came up that this summer is the anniversary of that tour.
It is,
30 years. What was the vibe like among the bands? Was there a lot of crossover? Was there camaraderie? Did you talk to Van Halen, or was it everybody in their own camps?
Yeah,
Some
of the times we traveled together. Metallica and Doc and I were on the same travel schedule. So they'd throw us all into a couple vans, you know, and we'd get on the same planes together a lot, always. And then a lot of times all the bands would end up on a plane, and it would be funny because we'd all be on the plane, and Edward Van Halen, we call, I say Edward because Valerie Bertinelli was his wife at the time, and she'd be on the plane, and he'd go around, and he was very talkative with everybody, remember? Edward!
Edward!
Like, what, Val? Val, hang on, I'm talking to somebody.
Yeah, so he called him Edward, so we started calling him Edward.
Edward.
It was like, well, it was easy because, you know, my connection with the Scorpions are all my bros.
Oh, that's right.
I sang backgrounds on Blackout.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know them. We've done other shows with them. So between knowing the Scorpions, I knew Lenny Wolfe from Stone Fury in the first days. I was offered to produced Stone Fury.
Oh, really?
And I passed on it, and then ended up doing that album. I didn't have time on the tour. And the funny thing is, you know, the night that Cliff Bernstein was our manager before Metallica. I was with Cliff the night I drove Cliff to the Troubadour to see Metallica. And he had kind of a funny voice, and he goes, these guys are going to be huge. And I said, really? Because I was kind of like, you know, the Leopard, you know, this was the explosion of MTV.
Right.
And when I'm seeing Metallica, and they were heavy, and they were great, and they had a cult following, and they were playing the Troubadour, and Cliff's like, you know, he just, his first huge act was Leopard, and Leopard was exploding.
Right.
And we're on album two, which was Tooth and Nail. It was exploding. That's melodic rock. And Metallica's holding their own. They're going their own path, their own direction. Right. And Cliff could see it, and I couldn't see it.
Yeah, I remember him
playing. I couldn't see it.
Remember him playing a demo of Metallica for us to see our reaction. And we all just went, I don't get it.
I don't get it. Yeah, I said, I don't get it.
I didn't get it at first, you know. And he knew, man, exactly what he was going to do with them. He knew they were going to be this new thing, you know, and he was right.
He knew. We were wrong. And he played it. Same with, when he played Pyromania for us. Remember that?
Oh, well, we enjoyed that, God. Though. Yeah, he took us in and said, listen, no one's heard us, but check out this song, Photograph. And we heard that. We went,
that was
wow,
fun.
What is this sound? You know, it was a whole new drum sound, a whole new experience with
huge
the musical
harmonies.
Sound.
Mutt Lang had done this whole crazy four-year
project.
What
a genius Cliff Bernstein.
If you think about it, him and Peter Q Prime, that at that time, they had you guys, they had Metallica, they had Def Leppard, they had Tesla. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they came from... They came from Lieber Krebs, who had AC/DC. Cliff Bernstein discovered Rush.
Right.
Yeah. And
our guy from Mercury.
One day.
Yeah. And, I've talked to Cliff because they're still based in New York, and they've reinvented that company, too, pretty smartly over the years. I mean, they still have Metallica. Metallica's like the only act from back in the day they have, because now he's got Muse and Chili Peppers.
He's staying up on things, you know. He did the run with... you know, I remember when he called me and he goes, I'd like to come out and meet you. You know, I heard your import album, Breaking the Chains. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he met me. But I had this vision of this, a manager being a suit and tie. Guy would show up and hear this scrappy little guy with long hair.
He almost looked like a homeless guy.
Yeah, t-shirt on.
And he'd wear a little plastic bag with who knows what kind of documents he might have.
He always had the plastic bag. He didn't carry a suitcase.
And I remember he used to tell us, we asked him, we needed some money to live, because that's how starving we were. Mm-hmm. He goes, I can give you maybe a little bit, but I live on $6.50, $7 a day. And he started explaining how to do that.
We were like,
oh, God.
Now he's a billionaire. But, you know, he's...
But he still looks the same way.
He looks the same. Looks like old Cliff. He hasn't changed. He wears his tennis shoes and his jeans and his t-shirt and loves baseball. And he's got his kids. I remember his first son. I don't know if it was Sam or Otis. I think it was his first son. My son was born on Monsters. His son, both our sons were born about the same time. So, you know, Cliff's coming out and he's got Saber, his missus, and he's got his son, Otis. And we're talking kids. And you got Eddie and he's got Bally. So I was thinking it was going to be like the same debauchery. And women everywhere. You had 100,000 people. And it's going to be these huge orgies and the parties and the hotels. And it wasn't like that at all. It was like family. We're talking kids.
Wasn't on my end.
On your end, yeah.
I was single and loving it. So
they don't call him Wild Mick Brown for nothing,
that's
ladies and gentlemen.
Pretty much where that name came pretty strong there.
Was it born on the Monsters of Rock tour, the Wild Mick Brown?
No, day. It was earlier than that, but I really lived up to it on that one, man. I peaked about that point, I think.
We are talking about a man here who got a DUI driving a golf cart.
Oh,
so.
Wow. That's one
of my favorite stories ever, Mick.
Yeah, it's a funny one, you know. In fact, I had a lot of rock stars call me up, and I was kind of embarrassed, and I'd never really been in that. The press was so big on it, and I was a little bit like, wow, this is different for me. Ted Nugent was laughing at me. Better you than me.
Were you in Nugent at the time?
I was, and so many rock stars called, and I was a little embarrassed. They go, are you kidding? You're out there 56 years old? That's when it happened. When I was 56. I'm 62 now. And they were like, you know, no one's waving the freak flag like you right now. Good for you. You know, if you get in trouble on a golf cart, that's okay, you know. But anyway.
How does that even happen? Like,
How does it happen?
The security guy called up the police. We got into a beef. He called up the police and said, I stole the golf cart. And the police just came to see someone stealing a golf cart. I happened to be on a public road trying to get back into the venue away from this security guy. And when I came back, the police were there and they arrested me for what they thought. You know, I had all these charges. I'm like, oh my God.
Assault and battery and all kinds of stuff.
But is that even a thing? Like driving a golf cart's not driving a car. How can that even be enforced? I don't understand that.
I don't either.
You're leaving out some, there was people. He was dodging people.
Oh.
No, that's, you know, that didn't stick. But anyway, to this day, I'm going to knock on wood, much of my head. I've been pulled over since and wondered about that in Arizona. And the cops, you know, check your license, and they came back, and I thought, oh, they're going to bring that DUI thing up, and they never did. So I don't think because it's not a registered vehicle.
Right, that's what I mean. There's no license plate on it.
Right, so, yeah. shh.
All right, nobody's listening, Mick. Don't worry about it.
We were worried for a while going to Europe, all this TSA stuff, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And, you know, for a while, no offense, but, you know, you type in Wild Mick Brown, and the picture that popped up was his mugshot. You know, and the and you've got this kind of shitty grin on your face, kind of.
Well, he told me to smile.
What year was that?
Okay, so what was that? 7 years ago, 6 years ago? I can't remember.
And you were on tour with Nugent at the time.
Yes, we were playing with Styx and REO Speedwagon. I think it was the last night of that thing, and then we're going to
another leg.
There you go. And you know, just I was doing what we normally do. Greg Smith and I, the bass player, we would get on our. Find a golf cart with keys in it and just get on and go around, find our friends and drive around backstage. And nobody, you know, that wasn't stealing it. But when I went through this gate with this security guy, he told me, no, you can't. And I showed him, yes, I can. I have the right credentials. And then it turned into a, you know, my thing's bigger than your thing. That thing. And then I took off, you know, down the road and I realized, no, I'm on a public road with these two girls on the back. And I've been drinking, so
I
thought, this is bad, you know, and I'm going to go back. So when I went back, the police were there, and they just tackled me out of that golf cart. I'll tell you, boy.
Hey, let me ask you this. Yeah. Nugent is notoriously a teetotaler, you know, no drink, no drug, no nothing guy. He was okay with guys in his band?
Hey, listen, he understood it more than anybody. He had a powwow and made me sit down in front of everybody and kind of, he goes, listen, scolded I just you. Want you to... tell everybody I'm sorry for spoiling the fun. He goes, we only got 2 weeks left. Can you deal with this? And I said, yeah. And he asked me if I needed any help. And then he laughed at me and said, better you than me. He goes, now you know every time I open my mouth, because you know how much trouble he gets in when he opens his mouth.
Oh, yeah. God,
he said, the news constantly. He goes, and one time the Secret Service came down, and they were checking us out because he had said something about they thought he was going to kill Obama and with his suck on my machine guns and all that stuff. And the Secret Service came down and went through everybody in the tour. And he thought he was literally going to go to jail that day. It was a very first day. In fact, it was in Oklahoma.
That's right.
And we got off stage. He goes, well, he goes, not a bad show, first show. He goes, better than going to prison today. It was quite a thing. But what a character that guy was, man. I'm telling you.
I know Ted, and I mean, he's in touch with me from time to time. And I mean, how much time did you spend playing with him?
11 years.
I mean, God, I mean, what you see is what you get with Ted, right? I mean,
yeah, he's really a quiet. You know, in fact, he's much more than most people see. He's very generous.
Yeah.
Very generous.
When Katrina happened, he bought 400 cots and 400 sleeping bags, just sent them there. He didn't care anyone knew about it. Or, you know, he's that kind of a guy. He wants to help out in the right way and stuff.
He was
a kick.
Yeah, no, I think the problem with Ted, too, is that people kind of forget how many great records and what a great player he is.
Oh, listen, that's another thing. Yeah.
Because of all the other stuff swirls around him.
Right,
yeah.
He's so outspoken, people take to that. And I thought, he goes, and that's what he always tells the band, I'm just the guitar player. Why are they listening to me? He goes, how about my music? His music's, you know. But listen, if getting in trouble on a golf cart after all the years I've been with Dawkins, which is 38 this year.
Wow.
If that's the worst I can do, you know, getting in trouble, that's not so bad.
Has there ever been a time you weren't in Dawkins? I can't remember.
Lynch Mob for a couple of years. Yeah.
Well, you were in Lynch Mob. Dawkins broke up for 6 years.
Yeah. But Don, have you played shows as Dawkins without Mick?
Yes. Okay.
Has there been a few? Mm-hmm, I can't remember.
Well, I had the Don Dawkins thing because I couldn't use the band because we were
and, you know, Ted Nugent's schedule started to clash with Don's
thing. I laid out. I said, when you're not on tour with Nugent, then I'll gear up. Because I didn't want to go out without Mick. And I did do some shows, you know, with other drummers. It didn't feel right. And I'm like, I told John, I go, it doesn't feel right. I need Mick back there. I need my meat and potatoes, man. I need my solid. I don't want these busy, flashy drummers. They're making me crazy.
Right.
I did a whole Poison tour without Mick, and I went, that's it. I'm going home. And I just had it. You know, I mean, the drummers just weren't cutting it.
How did you meet Mick? Where's that? Give me that story.
L.A. I mean, the Star with Days, Whiskey a Go-Go, Van Halen, all that was going on. And
George Lynch and I were in a band together. And Don,
the boys.
And we were kind of popular in the local scene, was kind of getting a buzz. And Don was paying attention. And we had this song called Paris is Burning,
which is on the first record.
Yeah, and that's the actual song that Cliff Bernstein said, when I heard that song, I knew you guys had something, so I came to see you play.
And that was kind of, maybe it shows the marriage of the different people. Like, they wrote the Paris. I loved the song, but I changed all the lyrics and melody. I just kept the chorus. I changed all the lyrics. And I always loved the song, but when I came back from Germany after my first tour in 79, I got a record deal, but I have no band. So I'm like, I got a drummer. So I go to Mick, you know, I said, you know, I got a record deal, you know, what are you guys doing? But I was a little shocked because they were like a band. They had long hair and they were kind of, you know, the boys were like glam. They had, George had long hair and they were heavy. But when I came back, I went and saw them at the Whiskey, I go, they cut all their hair off. They're wearing like New Age clothes, and they had a girl singer. I went, what the hell?
Yeah, we had tried. We had tried to reinvent ourselves because after the Van Halen, you know, Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley came down through Rodney Bingenheimer to see these two groups, which one was the band that George and I were in, and Van Halen.
Right, boys
and because Gene wanted to produce one of these bands. So they saw for three nights in Hollywood, once at Gazzari's and twice at the Starwood, they came down, and then Gene told me on the last night, well, I'm going to take, in his Gene Simmons voice, which I can't do, Mick, I'm going to take Van Halen back. But you know why? And I'm thinking, well, Eddie Van Halen, you know, he goes, because they have David Lee Roth, and you don't.
Yeah.
So that was it for
even though their singer looked like David Lee Roth, long blonde hair, same kind of antics.
I mean, we're pretty much the same. We approached our bands in the same way.
You missed it, Eddie. You missed a great time. You were in high school. But as me as an older guy starting out in the business, I was already in my early 20s. I saw Van Halen, played with Van Halen. In my first band with Blotzer and all my three-piece band. And
yeah, we used to see him play when they had none of their original music. They used to play, you know, Kiss and Bad Company and Rolling Stones and, you know.
So you saw those. Well, you know, it's interesting we're talking about this because there's a guy who lives here in Tulsa who I had on the last time I did this show. His name's Greg Renoff, and he wrote this amazing book called Van Halen Rising about the pre-Van Halen getting signed years.
Oh,
so it's basically 78 back.
We were in those rooms. 79.
Yeah, so but what's interesting is that when you talk about Roth, Simmons going with Van Halen because of Roth, if you read those stories, him and Roth butted a lot because Roth was convinced Simmons was trying to steal Eddie Van Halen for his own thing.
Correct.
And they would there was a story where he even invited Van Halen to a Kiss show and left a ticket and a pass for everyone but Roth.
But Roth, yeah.
So there's all
that's
that
funny.
Sort of weirdness.
You know, David, I'll tell you what, though. Back then, Dave did really raised the bar. He structured himself after the guy
Jim Dandy
Mangrum. And he literally kind of, you know, I mean, if you knew about Black Oak Arkansas, you could see that he was taking that. But he took it to a new level.
He did.
And singers weren't doing that. But then, you know, of course, there's Eddie Van Halen playing his guitar. And you couldn't deny that either. And
Eddie ruined my guitar career. I wasn't a singer. I'm a singer now. I play guitar, but I was a lead guitar player. I wanted to be a Y&T guy. I wanted to be Dave Menichetti. And, you know, the first time we played with Van Halen, it was at this place called the Smokestack in Redondo Beach, and it was Van Halen and Dokken, and the band was Bobby Blotzer on drums, Juan Crucci on bass. We're a three-piece. I was lead guitarist and the singer, and I thought we were pretty good. I had heard of Van Halen because they're from Pasadena.
I was there that night.
You were there. Oh, you were there.
Yeah,
Nick was there, but I heard about him, and he had this missile, a real missile, and he had this thing with the Echoplex, and smoke came out, and he'd do this guitar solo with a missile and smoke. As soon as he walked on stage, I was done, and I was upstairs in my dressing room, and I hear guitars, and I'm like, oh, I thought they only had one guitar player. They have two guitar players, and I'm listening to this tapping. It sounded like two guitar players going at it. And I was like, what the hell is that? And I'd never seen tapping. I'm into Blackmore. I'm into those guys that play with a pick.
Right.
So I go over the balcony, and he's doing the two hands on the neck. I go,
What's that?
It was almost like, you can't do that. That's not, you're not allowed to do that.
And then that's the day you decided to ditch playing guitar.
I think every guitar player, the second they saw Eddie Van Halen, went,
But you know what's
interesting about that? And we got to hit a break in a second, but we got more time. What's fascinating about that, and comes full circle to 30 years ago, Monsters of Rock tour with Van Halen, Dokken, and everyone else, is that when you read this book and you read about those early years, the guys they talk about it being on the scene as the guys everyone was buzzing about was Eddie and George Lynch.
And George, yeah.
So was there, I don't know, did George and Eddie have a thing?
Eddie was much more advanced, and especially in a songwriting sense. George and I couldn't really write. We were learning how. They were sort of there with their...
You were what, 19?
I mean, look at their first record. It's just chock full of these great rock songs.
Right.
You know, and Eddie, you know, we were there the night he opened up that guitar case with this one knob, one volume knob, one pickup, and you know all these holes in his guitar.
Yeah, it was all beat up.
And
we all
went, "What the hell is that?" And he goes, "Don't anybody even think about looking at it." He closed that case up, and that was the guitar that you know that Fender Stratocaster with all the stripes.
All the stripes.
Frankenstein.
You know, he invented this. This guy was just like a Nikola Tesla. You know?
He was like a Tesla. And I've been there. See, people that talk about Van Halen before. I was there.
Did you go to any of those parties that they played, Don?
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
They talk about like the cops coming and breaking them up.
They just everybody go like, okay, let's get it really packed. Everybody kind of keep it down. Now Ben's going to start playing this Backyard Bust, and we got to hurry up before the cops get there.
That's
I was
how
there.
Got invited into Hollywood. The band George and I were in, and Van Halen. We had these great big followings.
Yeah.
So and you had to have a record deal to play on Sunset Strip. It was a showcase
right.
place just for record people going, look at our new band, you know, blah blah. And they realized that give these bands to come in and give them an unlimited guest list. We just used to go to the beach and just pass out thousands.
That's
of
what we did.
And people would just show up, and Rodney Bingenheimer kind of escorted these two bands into that scene, and we opened up the door.
So did you guys share? You guys shared the bill with Van Halen in the early
many times.
Hey, how's this one for history? Randy Rhoads is doing his farewell three shows with Quiet Riot. He just joined Ozzy. The bill was his last three shows, the Star, but it was Van Halen, Quiet Riot, Dokken. I had the flyer.
I have one with Quiet Riot, the Motels, the band of George and I ran, and probably Van Halen.
Van Halen.
It was all on Thursday night.
So, Don, you basically...
I did that show, the farewell show.
You basically took the George and Mick from the boys
and
put them...
Yeah, Don had called me and said, listen, I got a record deal, and you guys got some songs that I want to use, too. And he liked me as a drummer. He wasn't that keen on bringing George in.
No.
And George and I were a team. I looked at George and said, listen... Let's do something. It's getting late in the game here. You know, we were 20 at that time.
We're getting old.
You know, wait a minute. The writing was already on the wall that you didn't want to work with George.
You know, I said.
It was my fault.
Jesus.
And I said, I'll come bring George. Goes,
you know, look, okay. to my defense, the two times I'd seen the boys, you know, I never got to see their whole show because George would pass out and the ambulance would come.
He'd pass out.
Oh, right on stage.
From
done.
What was George's trip then? Drinking drugs?
Back then he was skinny. He would eat. To overeat because we were starving.
Really skinny.
And they'd give us food or something. He would overeat, and then we got on stage, he'd be nervous.
Like a
his
sugar
body
rush
would just
or
shut down, and he'd throw up.
He was vomit.
Like, what do you
call it?
Vomit
everywhere. It was like a hypoglycemic. He's so skinny, and he'd pig out because they were starving musicians, and they'd give a sandwich, and they had a kitchen at Starwood. But then he'd get a rush, and that's happened to me, too, before. I've eaten. I don't eat for the show.
Oh, but the poor guy.
He'd go down.
Oh, I did. Oh, so it was that sort
down for
of
the
deal.
Count, down for the count.
But what was your hesitation even back then, Don, about having George in the band?
Met him. And I thought, great guitar player, but he's a little off the rails, in my opinion. And he just was an eccentric guy. But I was still a lead guitar player, lead singer. I didn't want another guitar player. I'm just looking for a bass player and a drummer. And Mick, you know, as he said in our video once, he said, you know, that's my fault. He goes, you should get George. But they went to high school together. They were from Auburn. They grew up together.
Well, no, we didn't go to high school together.
I did meet him
when I was 17. He was like 19.
They grew up together. And George is the one that said to Mick, I'm going to L.A. I'm going to get a band and get going. Come with me. He kind of brought Mick out of the fold to Sacramento and brought him to L.A.
Yeah, he dared me to come down to where it was happening in Los Angeles. And at 19 years old, I think I was 18 at the time, I went down. And I remember playing on these stages at 19 and drinking beer. And I thought, wow, in Hollywood, they'll let you do anything. You know? And that was only the tip of the iceberg.
I have some photos. Some of these people do Van Halen and stuff. I have tons of photos of the boys live playing with us and Dokken. And we were called Airborne then and Van Halen. I was taking pictures all the time.
Wow. Really, so many historic moments of the stories I hear
stuff.
That Don and I or George
were
all in that same room.
We were there.
That's amazing. We got to hit
room.
A break here. This is just great stuff. Mick Brown and Don Dokken are here from, of course, Dokken. If you're in the Tulsa area, go out and see the guys. We'll all be at the Ideal Ballroom tonight in Tulsa. A great, fun venue. Second time for you guys at the Ideal.
Yeah, we were here last year.
You're the first of the repeat bands.
Wow, you, two times those
Doug
fools.
Doug likes you so much, you duped him into bringing you back
I know,
a second
how about
time.
That,
suckers. And I thought I'd be retired, you know. My birthday was last week. I thought at 65 I'll be... Everybody goes, when I'm 65, I'll be so retired. Here I am. I was 65 last week.
Eddie, congratulations on all your shows.
Yeah, you got the
always
untrunk.
Have great success.
I'm so happy for you. I'm looking at your TV show. I see the commercial. I go, Oh, Eddie's kind of like us. He just keeps going and going. I do. I get excited.
Thank you, guys.
I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, it's fun. Hopefully, you'll be on one of these festivals we'll cover somewhere in the near future, but it's been a lot of fun doing it. So thank you for that. All right, let's get a break in.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Let me tell you guys about the Quip toothbrush. I've been using electric toothbrushes for a very long time, and Quip is really, really cool. For starters, Quip is an electric toothbrush at a fraction of the cost of the bulkier toothbrushes while still packing just the right amount of vibrations to help you clean your teeth. Quip has a built-in timer that is dentist-recommended, 2 minutes, guiding pulses, remind you when to switch sides. Quip's subscription plan... that's for your teeth, not just convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, and that includes free shipping worldwide. Quip also comes with a mount, suctions right to your mirror. It unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel whenever you brush your teeth, which you should be doing, of course, a couple times a day. And finally, everyone loves Quip. They were on Oprah's O-List, named one of Time's best inventions, and it's the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Plus, they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/trunk right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free. getquip.com/trunk. 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 You will not regret it.
Shut it down.
Hi, I'm John Taffer. You probably know me because I've rescued thousands of bars, hundreds of them on TV.
That's your future broken.
I'm also a best-selling author, and I've owned and operated a bunch of other businesses. But now, I'm here on Podcast One with my new show, No Excuses.
I only yell at assholes.
Every Tuesday, I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm giving you all things bar rescue, insider peeks of what's going on the set, current events and topics you care about, with in-your-face analysis, and you know how straight I can be. And I'm going to have unforgettable guest interviews with the world's most interesting people, and I'm going to ask them the questions that nobody else has ever asked them. And yes, sometimes I can be a bit of an ass, but I'm going to shut it down every Tuesday and make no excuses. It's going to be the number one show here on Podcast One. Listen to it every Tuesday on PodcastOne.com, on the Podcast One app, and on Apple Podcasts. And remember, rate and review it, or I'm going to shut you down.
True Car. Told you about them so many times. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something, and we are introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you ever get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you what the true price on cars like the one you want is, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for that same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Speaking of the original lineup of the band, there is a new song, which is really good, called It's Another Day, that was recorded with the original lineup for the shows you did.
Went to number one.
It's a really good song.
Stayed in top 50 for 2 months. I was shocked. I saw the charts. Who went to number one?
In what
the
chart?
The DVD sales.
Get out!
Number one.
I'm looking for the check.
Nick needs to pay off all those lawyers from the golf cart.
Hey, the YouTube video, the video's at 500,000 hits.
It's
half a million.
So, you got that. There's a live record DVD that goes
Japan,
with that.
Yeah.
Lynch was on with me not too long ago. We did a private thing in Austin, and he came on the air with me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it seems like the vibe is good. I know that, you know, you love playing with John Levin, and John's a friend and an awesome
20
player.
Years, this 20 year years. With John Levin.
And I love years. John. I love John. But obviously there's always that interest in that original band with Jeff and George. George said just a couple weeks ago when he was on that he wouldn't rule out doing some stuff again. How do you guys feel?
Well, we have an offer on the table. Coming up in September, Mick and I talked about yesterday. We haven't made our mind up because Mick and I have to think about it. I have to protect the franchise of the Mick Brown, Don Dokken, John Levin over 20 years. Chris McCarl's been in the band a long time. You know, I have to protect the franchise. He's got Lynch Mob. But, you know, when these we call them honeypot shows come up and they say, hey, would you mind if George played and we'll give you a crazy amount of money? And so we did their Japanese tour, but now we have maybe – a gig coming up on September 7th in Minneapolis at a big casino festival, huge festival. And I haven't talked to John about it yet, but I have to keep my respect for John Levin. You know, I don't want to step on John Levin's toes because he's my brother. And he's one of my best friends. So I'm going to talk to John. And they made an offer, and I said, I'll play with George. We don't mind playing with George, but it's going to have to be George and John.
It's going to have to be George Lynch joins Dokken.
So John would stay on. You'd have two guitar players.
Oh, absolutely.
One time in Japan, and it was wonderful.
Really? I didn't know that you ever played with George and John played on the same stage
House
together?
Of Blues, and Jeff.
At Loud Park.
Loud Park,
in Japan, George was in the next room with Lynch Mob, and he wanted to play. So he said, well, come on over, play Tooth and Nail with us. And John was like, who's going to do what? I go, just both of you play the same thing that's on the record. I go, George doesn't remember it anyway.
Yeah.
So he'll be standing there watching you. And they did at the same time. And I said, listen.
It's pretty cool.
And this one part, it breaks down to just this really neat guitar.
I told John Levin,
if you don't push George at that time when that happens, he'll laugh and it'll be funny. He goes, what? I go, it's like passing the torch. So they got to that. And here the two of them are 15,000 people. And in the middle of that, Levin reaches up, gives George a push.
Pushed him.
Pushed him back. And George looked at him like, what are you doing right in the middle of this part?
And he did it. Yeah, he pushed him away.
He's like, we have it on video. It's just hilarious.
Oh, well, I didn't realize they ever played together.
Twice,
that's amazing.
But George seemed to pull this new thing off like he wants to do a reunion. No, if he's going to join us, come out and join us on some songs. That'd be great.
Yeah, we're not going to do a Dokken band.
So the four guys only deal is...
Yeah, they said you want Wild McBrown, Chris McCarvel, and Don Dokken to
George
do this big
come
festival
up play with,
and play with George. I said,
but you don't get rid of our guitar player.
We don't get... No, we're Dokken. He can come on our stage.
Yeah.
So you how know? Much does how much do, would how much of the set would George conceivably play?
Six, well, as much
songs.
As he can remember.
Yeah. No, we're talking 6 to 8 songs.
Oh, okay. So like maybe half the set or
it'll
something.
It'll be an internet, Facebook, YouTube sensation video wise because he's gonna do 6 to 8 songs. And I said, no, I'm not. If you're listening, George, I'm not banging on you, but he has to remember them.
That's what Don brought this up to me yesterday. So this is the first time I've heard of this, and I said 6 to 8 songs. When's he going to figure that? You know, because George doesn't put a lot of time into remembering or practicing.
I've heard that a lot lately from some people.
So I said, listen, he could join us for 6 or 8 songs. That way the band could still keep going and George could be there.
Keep,
but
somebody hold
so Don
the
went, that's
down.
The way to do it. And I went, yeah, let's do
and
it.
Let
that
George
way.
Just do what he's famous
and that'll
for.
That'll be fun,
shred.
Too, because that, we'll have fun with him. We could tease him all through those 6 or 8 songs.
So
I was shocked in Japan because, you know, my whole career, I wanted to keep playing guitar. You know, people don't realize the first American tour we did with. Whoever the hell it was, I was still playing guitar and singing. Hmm. It was George and me. Paris is Burning, we did a dual solo. I was still a guitar player. I did all the solos with George. Let me go back and forth. I do a solo, he do a solo. I was still a guitar player. And then George said, I want you to put it down. And Cliff said, you need to be a David Lee Roth. And I said, I'm no David Lee Roth. You know, I don't do that. That's not my trip. But I put the guitar down for 20 years. And we get to Japan with a reunion tour, and George goes, you're going to play guitar, right? And I said, what are you talking about? You want me to play guitar now? Well, I don't know how the goddamn songs go. And so,
The whole idea of the reunion is people want to see George play guitar.
Right. He's like, so I end up playing, you know, I played almost half the show with guitar on because he couldn't remember the damn songs.
Oh, my gosh. Give me, real quick, before we grab some calls, because I know people want to talk, and we only have limited time.
All right.
We said the Pilsen story. We talked about the band coming together.
Oh, yeah. They didn't hear it. We'll tell them real quick.
Yeah, we were talking off the air, but go ahead, Don.
You want to ramble real quick? Okay, so... You know, I get back from Europe. You know, I went to Germany. I do a 1979 tour It's Juan Crucier and Craig Peggy. Juan comes back. He decides he wants to go with
Bobby Blotzer.
Bobby Blotzer.
Him and Bobby.
And we done. And we just finished the Breaking the Chains album. You know, in Germany, and George and Mick came over to Germany. We did Breaking the Chains. We're coming back. We're living at my girlfriend's house at the time, who was the mother of my son, you know, in the Valley. And I call up Mike Varney, who's a legendary guy with a record company now, and he goes, oh, you know, I said, I need a bass player, like, right now. We had the Bloister Cult tour. We're going to do a video. We don't have a bass player. And I went, oh, shit, what are we going to do? He goes, well, and we had no money. I mean, we were top ramen's.
Oh, boy.
I mean, we were down.
We looked good, though.
We looked young. So she goes,
you always look good, Nick.
No, thanks, Eddie.
So Barney's like saying, well, you know, there's this guy named Jeff Pilson. He was from, you know, the Bay Area, and he's in a band. He's playing at a bar called The Shot of Gold, and he's in a cover band with Amy Cannon, who went on to marry Mick Mars and became one of the Nasty Habits, and they were called something. And he goes, and I said, well, what part of Hollywood? I don't have any money for gas. And he goes, it's like a mile from your house. I went, really? A terrible bar, like a little hole. So George is living in my house. He'd been living in his Pinto station wagon. And his girlfriend had made curtains. Remember the curtains? He made the curtains of the Pinto wagon. So
that was my room.
That was your room. Oh, that was Mick's room. He was a cook.
Anyway, go on.
That's how bad. That's how low we have gotten to. If you look, we could all have apartments. We could all have, you know, television. It was like, or do we spend the money on our amps and our drums,
right,
and our strings?
Just to make,
and,
hey, cared about anyway, music, back to Pilsen.
So we go to Shot of Gold, and here's this guy with really short hair, and he looks like he's playing a red Jaguar bass, and there's a girl singer, and he's going, little red Corvette, do-do-do-do-do-do.
But doing it well. You know,
yeah, well,
wow, okay.
But I mean, like we're looking for a rock bass player.
Right. Right.
So I walk in, I go, God damn it, Barney, this guy's playing Little Red Corvette. He's not a rock dude. He's got a little haircut and got these goofy clothes. He looks like a little goofy redheaded stepchild. So, but we're like.
Looked like Billy Mummy on bass.
He did. He looked like Billy Mummy.
From Lost in Space. That's exactly
he did. He looked like Billy Mummy. So I'm like, okay.
That's a reference for all the fellow 50-year-olds out
Jeff,
there.
Jeff will cop to it, too. He does look like
he
Billy
did.
Mummy.
He looked like Billy Mummy.
Anyway, so we got him.
So we got him. So we go back to his apartment. He lives in a really terrible place. I've never seen cockroaches. When he walked in, he hit the light, and those cockroaches were scrambling all over his apartment. He lived in a horrible place. But George doesn't hold his liquor well. And we were giving us cocktails. So we were drinking. We get back, and George is drunk. And so he got sick.
We take him outside. George throws up on the lawn right in front of this.
Right.
You know, in front of Pilsen's house.
Yeah.
In this kind apartment. Of dumpy neighborhood.
Lynch always throwing up or passing out here. What the hell's going on? Well, like,
that's his thing.
So Jeff was like, well, what do I do? And he's kind of holding George while he's throwing up. And I said, Jeff, I saw something on TV. If you got an upset stomach, if you take like really burnt toast, the charcoal will filter the thing. And I don't know where I got this. And I go in the house and burn some toast. And we made George eat it. I don't know how he got it down. I think
he's throwing up like black, back. Like black stuff,
so,
like The Exorcist.
I remember when Jeff looked up at me, here's this pile of vomit and toast and George Lynch laying in it. And he looks over at me and he goes, so you guys have a record contract. I think right then he went, this should be an interesting adventure. We took him, and you know, for a lot of people that are listening, if they don't know the story, Jeff Pilsen's been in Foreigner now for I don't know how many years.
25 years, at least.
No, not that long, but really long.
Maybe 20 years or so. He's definitely one of the...
I asked him the other day. I think he said it was 13 years now.
Well, I think he's John's been in longer than 20.
Yeah, right.
So, and Jeff never played with John.
Oh.
With Rev.
Oh, no, he did.
Remember Rev?
Yeah,
oh,
Jeff was, yeah. Jeff
oh, that's was, true, that's true. Anyway, the point is that, you know, Jeff, you know, was thinking, what the hell? But, you know, Jeff's playing in clubs. But I'm like this. I have a tour. Bloister Cult Arenas. We're going to do a video. I have a record deal. I have an amazing manager, Cliff Bernstein, that believes in me and the band I'm putting together. What do you got going on?
And I got a drummer that makes great toast.
Yeah. So then we're off to the races. We're off to the races. I mean, it was done. So
all right, let's do a break.
The rest is history.
Let's do a break. I got literally 10, 15 minutes after the break. And well, I promise you the rest of the way I'll grab the calls. Everybody on the phone will let you fire away a quick question to Mick Brown and Don Dokken, who are here with me.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
TheraWorks Relief, tremendous product. If you're one of the millions of Americans who suffer from muscle cramps in your legs and feet, relief is finally here. TheraWorks Relief, topical foam, clinically proven to relieve muscle cramps fast. Plus, with daily use, TheraWorks Relief can even prevent muscle cramps before they start, which is the best thing. So you can get a full night's sleep and do the activities you love without having to worry about muscle cramps. TheraWorks Relief only takes minutes to apply. It absorbs quickly, and it really does work. I recommend TheraWorks Relief. I've talked to friends I've recommended it to, and they love it. I have used it myself. I had a bad cramp in my thigh for the longest time. Ever since I used it once, it has never happened again. True story. TheraWorks Relief. It's my choice for preventing and relieving any muscle cramps. Try TheraWorks Relief today. Experience relief from muscle cramps for yourself. Get TheraWorks Relief in the pain relief aisle at select CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens pharmacies or by talking to your pharmacist. Learn more at TheraWorksRelief.com. TheraWorks Relief for your muscle cramps.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
You guys said before we go to the calls real quick, there's something, a story about something that happened in California.
Yeah, just recently we showed up really late to a show. One of our flights was canceled. So we get to this show. It's a really nice outdoor venue up in the wine country, like Napa area.
Beautiful.
The Y&T is the headliner because it's their area. Right. We're good friends with the band. So there's a nice restaurant and a big green room, you know, really nice stuff. Backstage, we finish our we made the show, go backstage. There's big pans of baked lasagna and salad and all the cookies and booze. Someone reaches up on the table and pulls this big, a large Ziploc bag of what looks like pot. So one of my pot smoking friends opens up, goes, "It is pot." So we're standing there like, "Well, somebody left a this is a lot of pot to be leaving laying around, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, how would you leave a?" It looked to me like thousands of dollars worth of pot. So
buzz,
we had this guilty
buzz.
Look on. We were kind of throwing it around to each other, making sure that we were really seeing this. And the promoter walks in with these girls who were serving us, and he, what are you guys doing? We're like we got busted or something. He goes, well, we found this bag. He goes, oh, no, that's the legal amount in California. That's for you guys to do whatever you want with. Well, no one in Dawkins smokes pot. And we were laughing like, You give the bands this much pot?
Oh,
you know?
My God.
So
they
walk, huge bag.
As we do that, guys in Y&T walk in, they go, hey, did you guys get a big bag of pot in your dressing room?
Doug, the promoter tonight, Doug, did you get a note on that? You got a big pot of pot?
I want to take it home.
That's not
Even
legal.
Even though I don't smoke. I used to do like pot cookies when my back hurt, the THC cookies. I have my pot license, but I don't smoke. But so I go, I'm going to take this stuff home. Like, is this legal? Oh, there was these were like very high quality,
and
sticky red hair buds. I mean, when you opened the bag, it was like, wow, you smell the THC. In the sense
I thought we're never
going
to make it to the airport tomorrow just from touching it that day.
So John was worried. He goes, I'm a lawyer, man. If I get busted, I'll lose my license as an attorney. I go,
he put it in his bag like he was going to take
it. I put it in my bag.
And he goes, well, I'm just going from California to California. We go, I don't think the plane flight's going to work out that way.
I was really thinking about putting it in my guitar case and... But it didn't work out. That's interesting.
You know what he did with it? We gave him a bad time. He walked over to the fence, opened the bag up,
on
and
Y&T
gave
stage.
It to the audience.
Oh, all right. That's all right.
Not the bag. I was taking the buds, the big buds,
yeah.
And sticky buds. I'm throwing sticky buds out in the audience, and people are going for the buds. And I'm throwing pot buds like flowers out in the audience. My wife's on
I wish I had a video of that.
God, who needs guitar picks? You got
right.
buds.
It was hilarious.
Can I have a bud?
Let's get a couple quick calls in here before we run out of time. Sure. The callers will kill me. Jamie in Indiana. Go ahead, Jamie. You're on with Don and Don Dockin and Mick Brown.
Hi, Jamie. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I just always wondered, whatever happened to your wonderful outfits from Under Lock and Key? Does Don have
a let me tell you. Jamie, those cost a lot of money, and we wore them once, and we tried to wear them on stage, and they instantly unraveled and fell apart. And we thought, well, good.
That's great, guys. Thanks a lot. You guys are awesome. Rocking with Dockin, baby.
Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate
Thanks.
That.
Thank you, man. Let's say hi to Stacy in Florida. Yes, those Under Lock and Key outfits, very much a sign of the times
Yikes.
There. Stacy, go ahead. You're on with Don and Mick.
Hi.
Hi, Stacy.
I just wanted to say that, Mick, it is illegal to drink and drive in a golf cart. I live in
Don't you tell me. I found out.
Community. right. I live in a golf cart community here in Florida. Uh-huh. And we hear about it at least once a week that somebody got pulled over because usually
they
like.
I'm not the only one in the world. Okay, good. Well,
no,
I understand
and these are
that, but
seniors.
You know. Yeah, yeah.
My mom and dad have a gypsy.
My mom and dad have a golf cart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, I have
thanks for
one,
making
but
me aware
I don't
of that.
Drink and drive. Well,
I drink and drive.
Well, thanks for making me aware of that, and I'll try and keep that in mind next time I steal one.
No, I just think it was a funny story because I hear about it because I live in that community, and you can get pulled over for speeding if you can believe that.
Well, this golf cart was in no way going to be a speeding ticket, I'm telling you. Not with the girls I had on the back anyway.
Yeah, they were hammered.
Stacy, thanks so much for calling and appreciate that and saying
take care.
Hi.
Thank
Love you,
Stacy. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Thank you for the clarification there. Tony in New York. You're on with Don and
Hey,
Nick.
Tony from New York. Tony, how you doing?
Yeah, Tony. How you doing, guys?
All right.
Hey, Eddie, great stuff.
Forget about it. Come on, Tony. What do you
Thank
got?
Thank you, Tony.
Forget about it. You got to get these guys on for about a half an hour each week just for some of these old stories.
Well, these guys are always welcome. You kidding me? We have a blast every time. Well, this is what you should hear when we talk when we're off the air, the stories we share, you know?
Yeah, I'd like to hear that. Hey, real quick, I saw Mick when he was with Ted at an upstate a place called the Upstate Concert Hall near Albany.
I
saw the tickets came on sale. I went to go see the show. It turned out to be a little freaking bar that had a low ceiling. How you guys handled that, I had no idea.
I'm having trouble remembering, but you know what? Most of the places did accommodate us. I thought this might have been one that Eddie was at, but no. Ted has no fear. He shoves all of his equipment in the smallest places, and we pulled it off probably, right? I know he did.
Oh, yeah. It was. I think it was a night off from the REO Sticks tour, so I guess Ted.
Oh, yes, definitely.
One-off. We call those one-offs.
Well, Tony, I'm so glad you came down and enjoyed it, if you did enjoy it. But, you know.
I'm from Long Island, so I knew Greg, so I went looking to see Greg. Eddie, if you want to see two smiley faces playing, Greg and Mick on stage together.
We were inseparable. We were connected at the liver, I think, through that whole tour.
Connected at the liver.
I mean, we just – listen, I never met a guy that we really enjoyed each other's company. And thank
Great
God,
because
we would
Greg
spend
Smith,
all
yeah.
day together and all night together. I mean, drinking and having fun. That didn't sound right. But he was a wonderful guy. And, God, what experience he has. I mean, he's played with everybody.
Jesse in Syracuse. I'm just going quick because we got 2 minutes. And we're going to get a couple more people in. Jesse, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, Wild Mick Brown, one of the best timekeepers of all time. Also, Don, I caught you solo at a Nightmare on Elm Street 3 reunion in Philadelphia where you played a solo set. It was amazing. You killed it, and I had to shut a kid down that was trying to shit-talk you and say you couldn't play guitar. You played and sung great. Long live fucking Dokken. Best band of all time. Top five.
Well, thanks so much, guys. I appreciate that.
That's
very nice of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate you listening and calling. Lori in Dallas, where Dokken just came from yesterday. Lori, you're on Trunk Nation with Don and Mick.
Hey, you guys.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
Nice to talk to you. I'm good. I didn't get to go to your show last night, but I'm going to get a wild hair and drive to Austin tomorrow.
Oh, wonderful.
You're in Dallas. Maybe. Come to Tulsa. What's that, a four-hour ride, three-and-a-half-hour ride?
You can make it if you leave
right now. The promoter's right here. We'll put you on the list if you want to come, Lori.
Hey, give me a number to call, and I'll be there.
if you want, we'll put you on hold, and we'll put you on the guest list if you want to come to the IDL tonight. You just give the name to my producer, and we'll put you on if you can make it.
I will. I just wanted to tell you guys that. Well, I just wanted to tell you guys, you are just one of the best bands ever. You guys have been with me for years. When I went to the military, I had Dokken music with me then.
Lori, thank you for
she's
your
a
service.
Veteran, so that's
right,
even
thank
more
you
we're going to give you.
Thank you for
you
the service. What you're saying about our band, we believe in you. The same thing. Thank you so much, Lori.
Well, my thanks to Wild Mick Brown and Don Dokken. That was a lot of fun. Again, that interview is courtesy of my SiriusXM volume show over on Channel 106, which is live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and replaying every night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to listen each and every day. Of course, I'm also on Mondays, a bonus show on SiriusXM on Channel 39 from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. There's the terrestrial radio show, and there's this new podcast, or I should say this podcast, which is new every Thursday and free via PodcastOne.com and iTunes. Again, EddieTrunk.com, at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Thanks to Katie Irizarry. She is the producer of the Eddie Trunk podcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to the Hard Rock in Tulsa, my home away from home, for letting me use the radio studio. Thanks to Mick Brown and Don Dokken. And I'll see you next Thursday for another all-new episode. Don't forget, if you're listening to this on post-day, tomorrow, August 3rd, if you're in Southern California, we're taking over the rainbow, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific. Listen to it all happen with a major surprise special guest on Channel 106, on volume on SiriusXM. And, of course, you do not want to miss that. And do not miss the newest episode of Trunk Fest this Sunday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 Pacific, on Access TV, this one from Jazz Fest. Thank you for watching the new TV show. It is greatly appreciated. Have a great week, everybody. Catch you next Thursday for another all-new episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Checked out the Big Podcast with Shaq here at Podcast One. Yeah, we talk basketball, but we're a lot more than just sports.
I met this fabulous lady. She's had to be in her 70s, knew everything about me, knew everything about sports. And the last thing she says, I love your podcast. And
wow.
I
was like, oh,
but I hate that John Kincaid.
Oh,
that's terrible.
Listen free to the Big Podcast with Shaq exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Okay, parachutes ready.
Boy, the things I go through to get auto loan rates as low as 1.04% APR for 36 months on new vehicles with PenFed.
You are aware that you don't have to be a military member to save hundreds on your auto loan, aren't you? Anyone can join PenFed.
As someone terrified of heights, I probably should have looked into that.
Probably.
Drop me off at the shore.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/autos or call 1-800-247-5626. Advertised rates available through the PenFed Car Buying Service. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.